Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Happy New Year. It is good to be here. It is good for us to be here. It is good for us to be here giving thanks, to receive forgiveness, to offer praise, and begin this year in God's name. When I looked at the readings for today, I was a little bit perplexed. The Old Testament reading is the benediction, and how many times have all of us heard that? We hear that every Sunday morning. And so that's 52 times a year, times you're all 25 or 30 years old. You've heard it quite a few times. What is it that I might say about the benediction? Then I looked at the epistle lesson, and Paul's writing is typically complicated in a fashion, written in a fashion that is sometimes hard to understand and even harder to explain. And so I wondered, what could I do with that? How would I explain the details of Paul's letter to the Galatians? And then the gospel lesson comes along, and it's only one verse. And it talks about circumcision. Excuse me. And circumcision just doesn't seem like a good topic for a sermon. And so as I contemplated the text and thought about what I might say, I felt myself being continually directed back to the Old Testament lesson. The words of the benediction. What is the story behind those words? Where do they come from? What's the content of the book of Numbers from which they do come? What do these simple three lines have to say to us? What do they mean to us? What information can we take home from them as we hear them at the end of a service? So one of the first things that I did was turn to the introduction of the book of Numbers. You'll remember that Numbers is part of the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. If you look back at Genesis, the first book, Genesis covers the creation up through Joseph's time and all of Jacob's children being moved to Egypt. And then Exodus starts out with a call of Moses. And it takes him and the children of Israel through the time of the Exodus and out to the Mount Sinai. And at Mount Sinai, they received the law from God. And the book of Leviticus talks about that law and lists those individual specific laws. And then we finally get to the book of Numbers. And someone in Sunday school this morning said the book of Numbers is about numbers. And to some extent it is. There was a census taken of all of the males in the camp who were over 20 years old. There was also some direction there that God gave on how the camp should be organized with the tabernacle in the middle and the tribes all around. The tabernacle, you'll remember, was like a portable temple for the children of Israel. And then just before they leave, God gives some final instructions. And some of the things that he talked about, we mentioned already, that being the census and how the tribes were to be arranged around the tabernacle and how they were to march in the same thing. God also explains the roles of the Levites, the priests, who were to be the people who worked in the tabernacle, the religious leaders of the time. And one of the last things that God says to Moses is, Moses, this is how I want Aaron and his sons to bless the people. This benediction is called a priestly blessing that we hear on every Sunday. It's really very simple blessing. It's three lines. Each line has two promises. Each promise begins with the name of God. Each line gets progressively longer. In Hebrew, the first line is three words long. The second line is five words long. And the third line is seven words long. So I thought it would be well to maybe take a look at these lines and these promises a little more closely. The first line is, the Lord bless you and keep you. What does it mean to bless someone or something? We talked a little bit about that in Sunday school this morning, and it's a little hard to get your mind wrapped around. But essentially, to bless is to pronounce words that confer or invoke God's divine favor on someone. It's to ask God to look favorably at someone or something. In this reading, God specifically authorizes the priests of the temple to bless his people, each and every one. Here, the priest is invited to invoke God's favor upon the children of Israel, to invoke his blessings on those days, included things like having lots of children and having good harvests and bringing peace around that nation. And finally, it was to bless them with his presence. You'll remember that as they marched along, they were led by a pillar of fire at night and a cloud by day. That was God's way of saying, I am here present with you. Today, God blesses us with spiritual and earthly gifts both. We tend to think a lot more about the earthly gifts that he blesses us with. But he also blesses us with spiritual gifts, and we need to know what those are. And we need to give thanks for those as well. And not only does God bless us, but we bless God when we give him thanks and praise when we're here for worship on Sunday morning. That's blessing God. And we bless ourselves when we invoke God's blessings or rejoice in God's goodness to us. Things are made holy or set apart when they are blessed. People are blessed by good things that happen to them. The second promise in there is that God will keep us in that first line. And the Hebrew word that is translated, that we translate as keep, means to guard or protect or to attend to someone. And the second line is the same. It also has two promises. The second line is, the Lord shall make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. So how do you shine your face on somebody? When God looks at you with favor, that's his face shining upon you. A shining face is a smiling face. It's an indication of someone's favor. And in this case, when God shines his face upon you, and that's what we're asking happen, then God is looking at you and smiling. And then the second part of that is that God should be gracious to us. The word that's translated gracious means to bend or to stoop, which seems a little odd. But you think about it, when you bend over or stoop over to help a child, then you are doing what God calls being gracious here. God is looking at us as his children and bending down or stooping down to help us and to be with us. The third line is a little bit different depending on what translation of the Bible you use. One way of translating that is, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. But then what is a countenance? So others have translated it, the Lord look upon you with favor. One's countenance, as that word is translated, is the face or the expression upon your face. And so if God lifts up his countenance upon you, then he's taking notice of you. He is treating you with his favor. He is looking upon you with a smile of approval. And that's what we're asking for. And then the last part of that line is, and grant you his peace. We talked about peace in a sermon a couple of weeks ago. Peace, as we think about the English word peace, simply means there is no more war. But there's a lot more to that word that we translate from the Hebrew. The Hebrew word that we translate is shalom. And it means total and complete well-being. perhaps best described as things might have been in the Garden of Eden. So we hear these words every Sunday, but how much do we think about them and what they mean? I remember being a kid hearing, "Now may the Lord bless you and keep you," thinking, okay, this is just about over. I don't know how many of you think that today. Perhaps it conjures up thoughts of, well, let's see, the game starts at 11:30, I can be home by 12. Perhaps you think about visiting someone this afternoon. Perhaps you're thinking about taking a nap. That's one of my priorities on Sunday afternoon. Perhaps you're just thinking about fellowship and coffee and something that you want to tell someone. So why is it that we use these words at the end of our service? They are certainly an integral part. And if you think about what we just defined them as, then they are certainly a lot more than just nice words to end a service. And the reason that that happens is because of verse 27, which we haven't talked about yet. It's the verse in this reading that we don't hear every Sunday, and perhaps we should. Verse 27 reads, "So shall they put my name on the people of Israel, and I will bless them." They, in that sentence, refers to Aaron and his priests. And it refers to all the priests of all generations. And so if we were to put that phrase in the vernacular of today's language, it might sound like this. God speaks to Moses. "These are the words Aaron and his sons, and their sons, and their sons, through all generations, to even pastors in the new year 2017, shall use to put my name on my people." To put my name on. God puts his name on you and on me. When you put your name on something, you mark it somehow. Maybe you stamp your name on it, or maybe you etch your name on it, maybe a driver's license number so that you can identify it as yours. You remember that ranches will brand their cattle so that they can identify them as theirs. It's the mark of a particular ranch. In the Old Testament, God made a covenant with Abraham. Today in the gospel reading, we hear about Jesus being taken to the temple to receive that mark, to be circumcised, to become a child of God. And at the same time, he was given the name Jesus, the name that was given to Mary when Gabriel announced that she would bear Jesus. And so we have the story of the circumcision, the story of the naming, the name and marking. And as you hear the words of the benediction today, I want you to keep some things in mind. Not only does God bless you and keep you, not only does God shine his face on you, not only does he look upon you with favor and grant you his shalom, his peace, but he also puts his name on you, and that identifies you as one of his children. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. The offering is received.